Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. In August of 1963, civil rights leaders here in the United States led a march on Washington, D.C. It was advertised and promoted as a peaceful, nonviolent march to bring change to a nation in deep need of change. When the planners first contacted officials in the United States government, President Kennedy, who was very supportive of the movement, initially suggested that perhaps this was not the right time for such a march. But organizers replied, "It is always the right time for change." Eventually, permission was given for the march, and over 250,000 people found their way down the mall, where they reminded all of us, that dignity and human worth are for everyone. No matter your color or political stripe, no matter where you were born or how you came into the world, you are a human, a person, worthy. It's hard to imagine, as you look at me now with my gray beard and my gray hair, that I was 2 years old when this march happened. I was 2 years old when, after decade after decade after decade of strife, of slavery, of inequality, of redlining, discrimination, and prejudice, voices rose up to be heard. They were heard in places like Birmingham, where they were met with Bull Connor and dogs and fire hoses. They were met in St. Louis, Missouri, in places all around the country. People young and old sitting at lunch counters, demonstrating in the street, praying together, hoping together to have a voice heard. A voice that was different, certainly, than the voices most were hearing. Change was on the wind. I was 2 years old. Last week, there was another march, January 6th, another march on Washington that looked very different. In the 50-some-odd years between that march in 1963 and the march in 2021, one could argue that little has changed. It was jarring to see 2 weeks before Martin Luther King's celebration the presence in full technicolor, not the grainy black and white of 1963, but in full technicolor and stereo sound, the deep an enduring presence of white supremacy, of hatred, of discord. The voices I heard last week were different than in 1963. Back then, Dr. Martin Luther King called even within their own movement, called for peace over and over again. There were some that said, look, there is no way that we can bring change in a peaceful way to this violent country. They called for riots and destruction, to change, for change to happen now and to happen in a way that people could surely understand. But Martin Luther responded with these words, "The limitations of riots, moral questions aside, is that they cannot win, and their participants know it. Hence, rioting is not revolutionary, but reactionary, because it invites defeat. It involves an emotional catharsis, but it must be followed by a sense of futility." Later in the week, after January 6th, finally there began to come out information about how what happened on that day had been disseminated and organized, and what voices were being heard leading the insurrection. Much of it on social media, encrypted platforms. There was a movement afoot to bring violence and not peace. There were voices speaking as loudly and as vehemently this year as there were in 1963. You see, there are always voices to be heard. And there are always people willing to hear them. That's how the world certainly is made. And I would never suggest that every voice needs to be a particular kind of voice with a particular message, that there is no freedom, because without freedom there is no hope. Without voices of dissent there is no change. But not every voice should be heeded or given credence. In our Old Testament lesson today, Samuel, the young boy, is lying in the temple. He is a junior partner, a servant to the house of Eli, who were the priests of that time. And as he lay there, he too hears a voice. Eli. Eli. Samuel. Samuel. And waking up, he says, "Here I am." And thinking it was Eli who had been calling him, he runs in to say to Eli, "What do you need?" And Eli says, "I did not call you. It was not my voice." And again, "Samuel, Samuel," he hears the voice. And again, Eli tells him, "Lie down, boy, lie down." And finally, again, God calls Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel says, "Here I am, Lord. I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle." Tingle. Just, I love that phrase. "I'm going to do this new thing that will make your ears burn." Samuel hears God's voice. Now, the voice that Samuel hears is not going to be an easy one. In fact, right away, God tasks Samuel with the words that he will need to tell the house of Eli. He will have to tell them, look, nothing you are doing is right. God will banish you from the priesthood and will start over again. The voice that Samuel hears will lead him to a life of prophecy and rejection, disappointment, and change. I love this story because Samuel is trying to figure out whose voice it is to whom he should listen. He is a servant of Eli and a servant of God both at the same time. But the voice that he chooses is the choice of God. Sadly, I hear that same rhetoric today. As we were looking through some of the posts of an acquaintance, it became increasingly clear that for her, her stand with the insurrectionists and those who would crush freedom, she truly and honestly believes comes from God. She sees herself, she says, not as a prophet, but as one who prophesies. That the words and the support of the president that she loves comes directly from the voice of God. Sometimes hearing the voice of God takes some discernment. It seems, at least as I hear the word of God again and again and again, when Jesus calls, as Jesus called Philip and Andrew and Peter and Nathaniel to follow him, that seldom does that voice call, never does that voice of Jesus call us to violence and discord and hatred. Never does that voice call us to treat another human being as less than human, or less than ourselves. And never does that voice call us to a kind of hopeless, riotous conclusion to our difficulty. That voice says again and again, peace be with you. That's the voice we hear. The voice I hear. That voice of peace and love that is calling to each of us to once again examine not only ourselves, but our systems and our societies for things that make for peace. Martin Luther King Jr. said, peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding. And then famously, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. And again, at the end or toward the end of his I Have a Dream speech, Martin Luther King Jr., as he finishes winding up the climax of his speech, as he spoke last on that day, he says, and when this happens, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old spiritual Negro spiritual, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. The voices we listen to make a difference. some of those voices draw us apart from one another and drive a wedge between us that is almost impossible to undo. Others, like Martin Luther King Jr., draw their voice from their faith, from a God who calls us to love one another in every way and forever. So let us hear that voice that calls to us in the stillness. Samuel, Samuel. And respond, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." And then perhaps more than 50 years from now, my children will not be remembering that when they were 2 years old, there was an opportunity for change that was missed. Maybe finally then, and our saying, "Here I am," to causes of justice and peace, our children and our grandchildren can live in a different world. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn, "Give Me Jesus." We ask all of you to join in.